All right, so here we go. Well, hopefully it'll work.
So it says Parsha Shoftim on the top, but it's really Kitetze, just bad editing on my part. I want to share with you tonight an idea by Rabbi Riskin on the Eishes Yefas Tohar. The truth is that the Eishes Yefas Tohar is probably one of the most difficult parashios to understand in the Torah. Just like before, we look at the Psukim, just like the concept is, you go out to war, you see a really good-looking woman, your wife, assuming you're married, which I think you might have to have an Eishes Yefas Tohar, your wife is at home, and it could be a while since you've been home, and you have this impulse and this urge, and you're allowed to sleep with this woman. Like, it's hard to wrap your head around that. Like, what exactly does that mean?
And the explanations are no better.
Right. So, what I want to try to explain tonight is maybe a little sense of it. So, one of the Alpi Drush, this is what everybody says, and this is like the easiest way to clean it up, is that Parshas Ki Teitze always falls out right after Rosh Chodesh Elul, maybe a week and a half later. And so we're like 20 some odd days away from Rosh Hashanah. So what do we need to do? We need to talk about how we go to war with our Yetzer Hara. Right? Amazing. So what basically we say is, like, this is not really a story that happened, but sometimes when you go to war with the Yetzer Hara, yeah. Yeah. So,
I mean, in those terms, two wives were okay.
Right. But the concept that, like, you're out at war and you see this, like, gorgeous woman and you're like, coming home with me. Right?
No, just for that night.
But right, so it's not so simple. No. You can't just sleep with her.
Right.
But we'll see from the psukim how it reads. But anyway, that's like, so Al Pi Drush it works out. But Rabbi Riskin points out that Ein Mikra Yotze Midei Pshuto is that at the end of the day we have to understand what does this really mean? Like, it's a nice drusha if the rabbi wants to get up on Rosh Chodesh Elul Ish and talk about it. But like Lemaisa, that's not what it really sounds like. So the question is, what exactly is going on? So let's take a look at the psukim. It actually does connect well with what we did last week, where we discussed the idea of going out to war, and, you know, you have to reach out in overtures of peace, whether it was milchames rishus, milchames mitzvah. Ki teitzei la milchama lo ivecha, unetano Hashem lokecha b'yadecha v'shavita shevyo. You go out to war with your enemy, and Hashem gives you success. V'shavita shevyo, and you capture someone. Now that's really, really important, because I think in my head, for a long time, until like last Shabbos, I kind of pictured it more like this. Like, here's the soldier, he's got his sword, his spear, his bow and arrow, whatever it is, and he's killing left and right, and all of a sudden he sees like this gorgeous woman, right? And he grabs her. But it's not really the case, because what the Pasuk has told us is that you won the war. V'shavita shivyo. And so then you go into the refugee camp, which is where you're holding all your POWs and the spoils of war, which would include the woman, and you see this woman and you're like, whoa. And then you take her. It changes the context a little bit, because if the war is over, then you're getting back on your whatever and going home. So the impulse is a little bit different, meaning it's not like you're in the throes of war. It could be like months or more before you get home. So just, I thought that was like an interesting like way of looking at it. I don't know. I never really thought about it that way. Ve'ita b'shevya eshet yifat tohar. So you see a woman in captivity who's beautiful. V'chashakta ba, and you want her. V'lakachta l'chalisha, and you take her for a wife. Now, interestingly, v'lakachta means what? I mean, it literally means you take her for a wife, but okay, so you might have relations with her, but usually when we use the word velakach, even
against,
if it's even
it against her will,
it could be against her will, but usually it's lashon kiddushin, right? Like you're marrying her. Now the marriage could be, like Harold said, right, through sleeping with her, but again, that's a possibility. So what happens?
It's also the lashon of mitzvah, like I mean, right, velakach, velakach, like all these velakach.
So I think we had this. I like to remember having this argument once, whether it's a mitzvah, whether it's not. I don't know. I think that was David. I think you brought that up like a bunch of years back, and I think that it was in Jeremy's house, and Josh, I think, got in the mix. I think it was quite a conversation, but we did check in the Sefer Achinuch, and I think it's listed there as one of the mitzvot, which again becomes very complicated. But then we said like giving a get is also a mitzvah. Like there are certain mitzvot that like are, we don't encourage it. It's not like, all right, in your lifetime, it's like the people that like, you know, advertise like, come do Shiloh HaKan. That's not telling you that you have to do Shiloh HaKan. God is saying if you need to eat, blah, 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 do Shiloh HaKan. Same thing with get and same thing here. Like we don't say this is like an ideal, but it is, I believe, counted as one of the mitzvot.
See, but it just has a bit of a return. Like, if you take her for a wife, not just for nothing. So, think before you.
That's how I always understood it. You can't just take her. You want to take her for a wife.
Yeah, for sure. But the question is, and we're going to see a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban about, like, what does that mean? So, is it like, you look at the woman and you're like, you know, I think she's the one for me. Come, why don't you come back with me? And remember, she lost the war anyway. You've killed all the men. So, like, there's nothing for her to stay for. So she's like...
Not, she's not the one. She's another one.
Okay. But back then, that was, like, no big deal because
it's fine.
There was a, you know, like, that was common practice. So that's one possibility. The other possibility is, like, it really goes down more like this. The guy looks at her and says, you're the one. He then sleeps with her. And then the Torah says, okay, but listen, once you do that, she's got to come home with you. So, like, that's what, I mean, and feel free to decide which way you think, not which one you like more, but which one you think the psukim are more consistent with, because then you could kind of get a sense of whether you're more a fan of the Rambam or the Ramban.
It doesn't sound like you sleep with her right away, though. He's got to bring her into the house. She's got to... she mourns her parents for a period of time, and then it says, "But Achar came, Tavoi La Uvalta." It's only after that. So that is,
I think, how the Ramban reads it, which we'll see inside. And I think that's because he's going to take Vilakachta as like literally, you take her for a wife. But how did you take her for a wife here? Like, where is the Maisa Kedushin? There's no. Did you give her a ring? Did you, like, was there a chuppah? Like, there has to be something, which is, I think, where you kind of, like, enter into, like, muddied waters. So, what happens in Pasuk Gimel? They see Ratzimachev Yame'alah. She takes her clothing off. Beitecha. You bring her to your house. V'gilchat Rosha. She shaves her head. V'astatzi Parneha. And she does her nails. Now, what does that mean? She shaves her head. So, right, so one explanation, I believe it's Rashi. This could be an amazing recording, by the way. I said this is going to be an amazing recording to listen to. I always assumed it was like, right, you shave off her entire head. And the reason why, I believe it's Rashi, we'll see in a little bit, right? Right, you want to make her look ugly. So what happens? He comes home and sees his wife who, you know, she's got a full head of hair and she's fine. She's wearing nice clothing. And what's this woman wearing? The clothing, and she's wearing dark clothing and she's got her, I don't know what she's doing with her fingernails. Let's thought maybe she made her fingernails like grow for 30 days and she shaved her head. And then all of a sudden he's saying, wow, she doesn't look so good anymore. And wow, my wife is all of a sudden so much more attractive in my eyes. I can't believe I made this tactical mistake. That's how we could look at it. Now, if I had a Tanakh here, or if it wasn't raining, we could get one, but it's not worth it. But what happens when Yosef comes out of the boar? What does it say right there? Vayigalach et rosho, right? They shaved his head. They shaved his head by chalef et simlotav, and that might be like a little bit of a paraphrase. And they changed his clothing. So what does that mean there? What did they do to Yosef?
They cleaned him up.
Right. So when we say vayigalach, right, it doesn't mean that they right, they buzzed off his head. What did they do? They gave him a haircut. So now also that's a game changer in this pasuk. What did they do to her? They gave her a haircut. Why might they have given her a haircut? Because where did she come from? She came from a refugee camp.
Twice?
Right. But I'm saying, like, it's not that they shaved her head, meaning that she's... We don't know how long the war lasted. Chances are, in the midst of the war, she didn't get a haircut. And, like, her hair grew long. So it flips the pasuk on its head. All of a sudden, what's she doing?
Making herself pretty.
Right. You're not making her ugly, but rather you're cleaning her up.
So it's... shaving her head and doing her fingernails are opposites.
Not necessarily. Yeah, they gave her a haircut, not they shaved her, and they did her nails. Like
her nails.
They gave her nail polish.
She got a manicure.
Yeah,
like,
so it makes them nicer.
Right.
Right. So that, but
that's the good way.
But I'm
the bad way is they pulled her nails off or something. Or
no, or they let them grow.
I mean, they were making it nice.
This was written maybe thousands of years ago. Who knows what they were doing?
So what I find fascinating about this is that, like, I always thought, like, that this was like a very closed book parsha. Like, maybe it's because I never really explored it to, like, you know, this level, but like that's like a game changer all of a sudden. And I don't think we're gonna really get to that tonight, but I think it's a question of, did they make her ugly? Did they make her beautiful?
Why would they beautify her?
He's about to marry her.
And that's what Torah wants?
Well, if you're about to marry someone, she's converted, right? So why would you make her ugly?
I don't know. They...
Yeah.
Is there anybody that brings a parallel with this Masuka? Is there in Masuka, they do a lot of the same things for her, where she's getting her...
Right, they make her ugly there. So I've never seen any connection between them, but that doesn't necessarily mean that there is not. So, I mean, I found this, like, just interesting because I felt that, like, all I saw as I, you know, spent the week on this was, it's a complicated parsha, but not just, I always thought it was just complicated, like, the concept. Like, you go out to war, and you come home with another wife, and you're like, honey, look what I brought home from war. And she's like, you couldn't have brought, like, a couple slaves or maybe a couple, like, kids that could have, like, you know, taken care of, like, work in the fields. Like, you brought another wife. Like, where's the disconnect in our relationship? That's where I always thought the complications were. But I think a lot of these steps are really not so clear what their purpose is. So what happens? They see Rat Simat Shevya Me'alel V'yashra Be'itecha U'bachta V'davia V'atima Yerach Yamim. She takes off her clothes of captivity, and then she stays in your house, and she cries for her father and her mother, Yerach Yamim, a month. Now remember, there's a very good chance that what happened to her father and her mother, and there's a good chance that they got killed. Bachar kein tavoi lau ve'alta, and afterwards she, you know, you come to her and sleep with her. Vaitalach alisha, she's your wife. Vayayim lo chafatztaba, but what happens if after all that you're like, you know what? Not for me. V'shilachta l'nafsha. You let her go free. U'machor lo timkarena b'kasef. You cannot resell her. Lo titamer ba'tachad asher inita. You cannot take advantage of her after you afflicted her. So.
It's the implications if you did not do all this to her, then you're free to sell her either as
a... Yeah, then you could have just taken her as a slave. Meaning like that, I think that's what it would be. Like, there's spoils of war. So what happens? We go out to war. We kill all the men. Last week's parasha. And what do? Women and children we're allowed to bring home. So what do you do with them? So typically, you would have brought her home as a slave. What happens if you caught so many of them and you're like, oh, I have a need for them. My neighbor didn't go out to war. You're like, hey, buddy, what I got for you? Like, that's a possibility. So, I have a couple of questions I want to try to figure out. The first question is, which I think we kind of answered, is where did he find her? So, I think the first piece was, it's clear that it was not in the midst of battle, but it was, like, from, like, the aftermath. What is he permitted to do with her? Is he allowed to sleep with her? Is he not? Prior to the end of the 30 days and the whole process. Why do we need all this? Right? What's the purpose of all this? Alright, those are my questions. Let's take a look at Rashi. So Rashi says, Ki teitzei l'milchama. This is like the most common way of understanding it. Milchemet ha-reshut ha-katuv medaber. We're talking about a milchemes reshus. Why? Because if it was a milchemes mitzvah, one of two things happened. Either you reach, according to what we learned last week, either you reached out in peace to them and they said, yeah, we accept. Then what happens? Limas, they pay taxes, and what happens? They're free, you can't do anything to them. That's one possibility. Or they're like, no, we're not making peace, and then what happens? Nobody lives. Men, women, and children. So Rashi has a fair point to say. We're talking about a milchemes reshut. If you go and you fight far away, and then what happens? There is one of the Zion Umos that made Yerida. He moved to wherever it was, and then you fought him. He lives, right? You don't have to kill him. Fine. Eshet, afilu eshet ish. Then this woman can be married. But it doesn't matter. V'lakachta l'chalisha. Lo dibra Torah ela kineg.
Even if her husband is still alive, what if he didn't get killed? What if he's also a refugee?
So he would have to be killed. Meaning, because the halacha is, in the milchemes reshus, you kill all the men.
Oh, even you can't even take them as slaves?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, we'll chalk that up to like some of the ethical dilemmas we had last week. So what happens? Lo dibra Torah ela kineged yetzer hara. The Torah is only speaking to our yetzer hara. Now we're going to actually see the Rambam takes this like a whole step beyond that, right? Like we talk and say, like I've always looked at it as like it is so hyper focused. The guy is out at war, and what happens? You say to him, the only place that we allow you to compromise in your morals is on this sexual relationship. Why? Because the Torah knows, she'imein HaKadosh Baruch Hu matira yisena be'isser. If we don't have the heter, it'll be done be'isser. Abam nisa'a sofo liyot sona. But Rashi points out, but if you marry her, you know what's going to happen? You're going to hate her. Shenemar acharav kitian leish v'gomer, because it says afterwards, if you have, you know, a guy has two wives and he hates one of them. But wait, it gets better. The sofo loli ben sorer amore. In the end, you're going to have a ben sorer amore. Lakach nismichu parshios alalu. And that is the continuum of the psukim from Eishes Yifat Toar to the Shein Hashem Ahuva Ve'asnua. To Ben Sora Moreh. Vastatsi Parnak, to Gadleim. Rashi says you make them Vasta, you make them, meaning you don't cut them, you make them grow and grow and grow. Kadesha Titnavel. You want her to be ugly. Vesirat Simat Shivyal, Fishahim Naim. Why? Because they were beautiful clothing. Why? They used to send their daughters out to be prostitutes at the front of the war. Either, I suppose, to distract the enemy or to satisfy the soldiers, their own soldiers. So she wasn't coming out in some like sackcloth that you take it off and you put on something more beautiful, but she was wearing a very, very eye-catching outfit so that the people out there would take notice of her. V'yashva beveita b'bayit shemishtameish bo nichnas v'nitkalba v'yotzei v'nitkalba roa b'mchiyata roa b'nivula kedei shetikanel lav. What does Rashi say? Rashi says the purpose of this whole thing is you should see that she's ugly, and the guy will be turned off. Ubachtat avia kolkach lama kedei shebat yisrael simecha v'zo atzuva bat yisrael mitkashetet v'zo mitnavelet. Why do we do all this? Because God wants that the Jewish wife will be beautiful, will be happy, and this new wife, who whatever her religious status is right now, it's certainly questionable. So what will happen with her? So she won't be so good looking. That's what we're looking for. The pasuk is telling us in the end you're going to hate her. So Rashi is coming out with a drush here to tell you that, listen, this will not end well, but the Torah gives you license to do this in this case for the simple reason that
if you don't give them that to do it, then they'll do it anyway.
Correct. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is this to prevent widespread gila rayos, or is this a general lesson how to reel in the Yetzer Hara? Meaning, do we look and say, like, in this very specific case, God says the man is in a compromised state, he's in the midst of war, and we're just nervous that he's not going to have the best religious judgment, and we know that the strongest of passions generally are in Gila Rayos. People aren't as necessary. It's not like somebody's going to say, like, ugh, if I don't eat this cheeseburger right now, like, I have to. But, like, this might be, in this person's compromised state, such a big deal that God has to give us a way out of Gila Rayos. Or is God really just saying that this principle of Dibra Torah Neged Yetzer Hara is just a general concept for how we deal with the Yetzer Hara? So that's my last question. So let's take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam says, "Chalutzei tzava kishichnesu b'gvul ha'akum v'yichbeshu miyashumehem mutter lahem lechol nevelo to treifot basar chazir v'kayotzevo." When the Jewish soldiers go and they're in the non-Jewish lands, they're permitted to eat all kinds of non-kosher food, including pig. I mean, this is the Rambam, right? Im yirav v'lo matzah mayochal ha-machalot elu asurim v'chein shote yayin nesech. They could drink yayin nesech, which clearly that's not like something that you need, right? Meaning, like, you want to tell me that, like, you have to eat non-kosher food, like, all right, you can make the argument you need your protein. Protein is limited. You might have no choice. You got to eat, like, the pig, otherwise you won't have the energy to go out to battle. But, like, oh, a good cup of water will do the trick. Like, you don't need to drink wine. Mipi ha-shmua lamdu batim layim kotuv arpe chazirim v'kayotze. Simon, you really, like, you get a lot of license when you go out to war. V'chein bo'el isha b'giyuta im takfo yitzvel. He's allowed to sleep with a woman if his yetzahara gets it. Avalo yivalena v'yelecho. But this is important. He can't sleep with the woman and then leave, right? Like, the idea of a one-night stand is, like, completely out. Ella machnisa l'toch beito, you bring her to your house. Shem avarita v'shivya eshet yuhator v'asur levolo tabia shnia ad shisena. And you cannot sleep with her a second time until you marry her. Ein eshet yufator muteret el b'shasa shivya. Shenemar varita v'shivya. She's only mutter at the time of captivity. As it says, you see her in captivity. Bein betulah, bein bulah, bein be'eshet ish, she'ein ishet la'akum. Henry, this actually answers your question. The Rambam says it doesn't matter, her husband could be alive and well, but there's no such thing as there's no marriage by non-Jews. Whatever that means, meaning, like, there's...
She's not considered an ish.
Right, that from a halachic standpoint, they're not married, so she's, you know, she's just a woman that slept with another man. The chashak da'afu b'sheni yafeh, and he desires her, right? That's a really important thing. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So if he thinks she's beautiful, but we all look and say, like, that, no, she's not. Bechashakta, right? He feels that way. But he can't sleep with her friend. Shelo yivol shtayim. You only get one. All right? So the way the Rambam writes is... I don't know. That I'm not sure. We'll continue in the Rambam, and we could see if the Rambam has any indication of that. But certainly in this one battle, the guy looks, and God says the field is open. Whoever you believe is beautiful and you desire, I give you one pick. And according to the Rambam, you get to sleep with her one time. That's it.
No, but you can't sleep with her just one time.
No, right.
You can't sleep with her a second time until you marry.
Correct. This is what it is.
No, you have one night stand.
Yeah.
If you don't want
to... You have to have that. Yeah, the one night stand means you have to bring her home, and you have to go through the whole process.
Over a month's time before you get married.
And you might even have to marry her, and then you might be like, you know what? Vayayin lo chafatz the bayis, I'm out. Then you get rid of her. It's pretty wild. Okay, what else? Lakachta l'chalisha, shelo yikach shtayim. You can't take two v'yul achav yaniach achav l'aviv l'achiv. Okay, listen. That's another one also. You can't be like, listen, I found this woman. She's beautiful, but she's got a friend who's just as beautiful. But I know, says the Rambam, that I could only pick one. I have to sleep with her once. I have to bring her home, but never. How can I leave this other one here? I'm bringing her back for my father, which is like such a crazy concept. My brother, my good friend, right? This is where we're going with this. Should just know it worked out really well tonight. Ozzy calls me. He's like, "Where's the chabura tonight?" He's like, "Is there going to be food?" I'm like, "No." He's like, "Fine, I'm staying home." So I was like, topically, we were in a good place by Ozzy not coming tonight. So what, right. And how do you know that you can't do all this in the midst of battle? Meaning the idea, which is like, I mean, that's the way of the world, is that the rest of the armies of the world back then, what did they do? They raped and pillaged. Meaning, like, in the mid, like, you came into a town, you destroyed the town, and then what? You killed all the men? And then, like, the woman, right, they raped the women on the spot. But they didn't bring them back to their, you know, their army tent or whatever. Like, that on the spot, they raped them. And then maybe if they're like, oh, you know what? Maybe this could work with me. Then they brought them home. That's not what the Rambam is saying. So he says, HaKohen mutter b'ifat tohar b'viyah rishona. Even a Kohen is mutter b'ifat tohar in the first biyah. So dibra torah ne'ela k'neged ha'yetzer. Aval eina yachol yisa'ena achar kach n'tnei she'i giyoret. So it's like a little bit complicated here. So I'm not sure if that's true. I think Kohen
lives about that.
Well, there is the Kohen Mashuach Milchama. But I would really, really hope the idea that the Kohen, who is like the absolute leader of war, he's the one that's like the battle cry in the front, for him to like fall prey to an Eishes Yifat Tohar would like totally ruin the idea of the Kohen Mashuach Milchama to me. Like, this guy is supposed to be my inspiration. But it could be the Kohanim went out to war also, I'm not sure. All right, so let's hold up on the Rambam at this point in time. I think we got enough to get an idea of what's going on. So Rashi does say that a lot of the Rambam ends off by kind of saying that a lot of the things that she's doing are part of the Geirus process. Okay, now let's take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam says, "Val derech ha-pshat." I want to tell you what pshat is. Yireh shasur live old. So the Ramban reads the psukim like Henry and says that you can't sleep with her. Lakachta l'chol isha means He literally takes her to be his wife, goes home, and does his whole process, and then only then, what happens? He can then marry her. Fine. V'achar kein, tavo elo v'alta, ma shamar v'chashakta ba, v'lakachta l'cho yisha, shikchen liyot lo l'isha, achar amasim ha'ilo sh'yitzaveh. Alright. So the Ramban is reading it exactly like Henry read it before. The Rambam disagrees, and we go from there. Now the Kotzker gives a great answer. He says, "What does it mean lo dibra torik ela kineged hayetzer?" So the Kotzker was a Chassidish Rebbe who had like sharp insights. But his basic gist of what he says is that sometimes we look and say, "How do I break the Yetzer Hara?" I smash it. So he says, like, imagine, you know, like you want to like get through a chain. So what happens? You grab it with all your might. What happens? You got through the chain, but what do you now have? You now have two chains. You have a broken chain. He says, what? Sometimes, if you deal with something super hard and in a very powerful way, in the end, you break it. And so his idea is that the whole idea that the Torah is saying is sometimes you need to take a softer approach in how to get people through a tough situation, because otherwise, there is no chance. All right, fine. So let's take a look at the Gemara in Kiddushin, which is the Gemara which Rashi and the Rambam quote. Lo dibra Torah el kineged yetzahara mutav shel yuchlu Yisrael basar tmutot shchutot ve'al yuchlu basar tmutot nevelot. So he says that the Torah speaks to the yetzahara, and when it speaks to the yetzahara, what it basically is saying is sometimes it is better to eat something that is not 100% glatt kosher, but I give you the opportunity to eat that, because if not, what's the person going to say? Then forget it. Then I'll eat. No, I'll do better than that. Meaning, like, I'm in Israel, and you tell me I'm in Tel Aviv.
I have to tell a story.
Yeah.
I have to tell a story. In high school, this happened. I was in the class. The rabbi, I won't say who, wasn't on him though. He was lecturing about kashrus. And said something about some of the guys were not so kosher. He said, I think the Burger King or whatever it was, the kid said, not the rabbi. And the rabbi said, you can't have that. He goes, what about having, like, the fish at Burger King? He goes, having the fish at Burger King just means having a burger. He goes, okay, I'll have the burger. I mean, that was what the kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's true. It happens. It really happens.
Right. Now, again, I'm not, like, advocating for any stuff like that, but, like, back in the day when people used to go to, like, business meals and they felt like I had to eat the salad, right? And you're in a non-kosher restaurant, and there's a myriad of halachic shilas that will come into whether that salad is kosher. Nowadays, we almost don't have to worry about that. Well, really, nowadays, we don't have to worry about that because you eat your own salad by Zoom on the meeting that you're with. But, all right, like, whatever. We know, like, the complications that are involved in that. But, yeah, better to eat the salad, according to the Gemara in Kiddushin, because what's the alternative? Like, okay, there are questions on the salad. Right, the lobster is treif. Like, there's no good way, there's no other way about it. So that's what the Gemara is saying. So who is that? Is that the Rambam or the Ramban? That's the Rambam. The Rambam says, listen, I know you're going to mess up if I don't give you the opportunity, so what am I telling you? Better to sleep with her once, and you'll be in a good enough place at that point in time that hopefully you'll be able to make it home. So the idea that the Rambam is saying is, better to lose one finger than to lose the whole hand. Right, but I think what Rashi and the Rambam are saying is that God reshuffled the deck, so to speak, to give you like a hector on this. Like, this should be austere, but, like, the person's going to do it anyway. So God says, if you do my formula, it's okay. Now, it's not that the Ramban says it's not okay also. The Ramban says it's okay, but the Ramban makes it much more restrictive. So why? Because unlike the Rambam, who says better to lose a finger than to lose the whole hand, what does the Ramban say? If you give them a finger, they'll take the whole hand. So that seems to be the way the Gemara would look, Ramban versus the Rambam. Now take a look at the last source on the page. The Gemara Moed Katan. Rabbi Lai Omer, Im Roa Adam Sheyitzo Mitkaber Lav. Rabbi Lai gives you a piece of advice. A guy sees that his Yetzahar is getting the best of him. Right? He's going to do like some really bad Aveira. What should he do? He's going to commit Giloi Arayos. What should you do? Yelech Lamakom Shein Makirin Oto. Go to a place that they don't recognize you. Yilbash Shechorim. Go put on black clothing. Vitatev Shechorim. And cover up your face in black clothing. Yasem Ashalibo Chafetz. And do whatever you want. But Al Yechalel Shem Shamayim Befarhesya. Right?
Right.
Right. Meaning, if you're going to sin, and we know, right, you know, like the baseball, I love doing this with my kids, like when you're on like vacation, and you see the guy with the baseball hat, and you do the head nod to him, right? And my kids are like, how do you know? I'm like, because you just do, right? Like, we've all been there at one point or another in our lives, where like, you see the person, and it's not like where it's like, someone who's like so distinctly from that like you can't miss it, right? But like you do the head nod and they're like, because it just, we somehow our antennas are up and we figure it out, right? Saying like you want to do it, so go, you know, don't dress the part of like the Jew on vacation, but like really go far away, change your clothing, change your whole look, and then yasem ashalibo chafetz, but al yichalel shem shamayim befar hesya. Right, God says, "Do not be mechalel shem shamayim b'far hesya." That's an amazing, amazing, amazing Gemara. So now again, let's take a look at this Gemara. Who is it? Rambam or Ramban? It's the Rambam. Right? What's it saying? You got this moment of weakness. You gotta like go do whatever you gotta do to get it out of your system. Ayichal shem shamayim b'far hesya. So how do we out? So God changes the playbook for going out to war. There's no way that you'll embarrass God. But in general, right, the Ramban would say, no, I don't agree with that. So I want to end with a beautiful idea by Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel learns this Gemara in a way that turns it from the Rambam to the Ramban. And perhaps gives us an idea, a beautiful way into understanding the whole idea behind Eishes Yifas Toad. So Rabbeinu Chananel says, why do I go through this whole thing? Right? I mean, why do you have to tell me, go to a faraway place, put on all the clothing, right? Cover your face, do all these things, right? Like, why not just, like, take off your yarmulke, and I don't know, maybe quickly, like, give yourself, like, a little shave on your, like, payas, so, like, you don't look so much the part. And then you go into the store and do whatever you want. Go to wherever you want. Find this girl and do whatever you want. So Rabbeinu Chananel is an amazing idea. He says that what the Torah understands is that right now, in this present moment, you're not able to think straight. The Torah says, what I want you to do? I want you to get on your donkey and I want you to travel to like the first non-Jewish settlement you can find. That could be a long distance away. So now, all of a sudden, you've got like a couple hours of like think time. In case that didn't do enough, I want you to take off your clothing and change your clothing. In case that didn't do enough, I want you to cover your face. Rabbeinu Chananel says the whole purpose of doing this is to put time between your initial action or your initial thought and what you're going to do in the end. Why? Because hopefully, right, hopefully you'll think. And if you think, what will hopefully happen? Correct. It's a beautiful idea by Rabbeinu Chananel. If you take that, then the Gemara really is actually according to the Ramban. Now, who cares? It's not. I don't think the Rambam and the Ramban really comment per se on this Gemara, but I do believe that what actually this Gemara, what Rabbeinu Chananel does is he gives an insight into the whole idea behind Eishes Yefas Toar. In the perfect world, according to the Ramban, which is for sure we would all agree, the most ideal situation is that you're at war and your impulses get you. So what do? You distance your final decision as much as possible from your initial impulse. So give it time. Maybe it's a few weeks. It's actually more than a few weeks. It's at least 30 days. That gives a person time to say, is this something that makes sense? That's what the Ramban is really saying. He's saying, "Lo dibra Torah el kineged yetzahara." What is the Torah doing? The Torah is saying, how do we deal with the yetzahara? The way we deal with the yetzahara is a recognition that at some points, the yetzahara is too strong that you're not going to be able to beat it. The best thing you could hope is to kick the can down the road. Because once you've kicked the can down the road, hopefully, like Neil said, you're going to have given yourself enough time to think about it a little bit more carefully, and then hopefully your decision-making will be a little bit better. Perhaps, to go back to the beginning of whether it's Al-Pi Drush or Al-Pi Pshat, even Al-Pi Drush, the Pshat and the Drush are not so far off from each other. The nature and the lesson of Eishes Yefas Toar is that, yes, man is mortal, and the human being has lots of shortcomings, and God knows we can't beat them all. But God says, the one thing I ask of you is, don't act too quickly. Because when you act too quickly, more often than not, the decision-making is bad. Give it time, and hopefully, you'll come to your senses.